This is episode 125 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com.
Pretty cool. Good holiday. Lots of superheroes.
Lots of stupid heroes, too.
That's true, too.
I did not get finished with my group costume. I'm quite upset. But
looks pretty awesome.
Actually, I got a year advance on next year.
So yeah.
Instead of waiting for the day before.
That's true.
I actually am dressing up tonight.
Really? Because you didn't dress up last night, and you looked lame.
Are you dressing up as a hobo again? Because that's pretty much every night.
No, this is all I'm doing is I have to stop at some point later today and try and find a white cane, but I'm wearing my Daredevil sweatshirt and sunglasses.
See, I love Halloween because it's the one night I don't dress up as a slut.
You can't ever hide what's in your heart, Tony.
I don't think that you're dressed up as a slut. You just are a slut, Tony.
Hey, quick fun story. I had this guy say, well, isn't slutty and sexy exactly the same thing? I said, no, and I've got one anecdotal proof. My wife is sexy. She's not slutty. And he kind of looked at me like, I go, see, you can't say anything with arguing about this without calling my wife a slut. I was like, win.
Oh. Yeah, I kind of want to, but we're recording, and it's like, damn it, she could eventually hear this, theoretically.
Yeah, yeah.
She won't. So
no, she won't.
Yeah, all right, guys, should we get things kicked off? Oh, by the way, this is Drunk on Comics, your weekly podcast, brought to you by us and by Ink Whiskey and by the good people that make comics,
the good people that make beer,
yeah.
Or booze.
And
alcohol in general.
And sometimes mixers.
Mm-hmm.
Or chasers.
People that get us functioning throughout the week.
Yeah. So, I'm Derek.
And I'm Tony.
I'm Matt.
Who the fuck's Matt?
This guy that shows up occasionally when, you know, kids let him.
Dude, like, don't you just have some boxes around your house that you can just put them in for a while?
Yeah, but, you know, they've learned to escape. Milo's learned box ripping technology. So.
Oh.
It's been well over a year. No, not a year. A month, I meant. How time flies.
What are you, Marvel? What? Oh, since Matt's been here?
Yeah.
Last time Matt was able to join was Grand Con. That was September 19th through the 21st at the Hyatt in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan.
It wasn't the Hyatt, it was the Holiday Crown Plaza. But
oh, yeah. Not a Holiday Crown Plaza.
The Crown Plaza. Just Crown Plaza.
Yeah.
I think it used to be a Holiday Inn.
Whatever.
Let's talk about some comics, shall we?
Yeah, let's do comics.
All right. Well, you want me to kick off the shelf?
Might as well. We haven't heard your beautiful, luxurious voice in so long.
I know.
I need to hear it.
Okay. I haven't been here for a while, so is Off the Shelf sponsored by anyone?
No. Just Ink Whiskey just sponsors pretty much everything now.
They're pretty awesome. You should go check them out.
Yeah.
Well, I will say spoiler alert. Because when we talk about books that came out this week, if you haven't read them yet, then we are going to talk about, you know, what happened. So in a way, we're a cheap alternative to actually buying the book.
We're going to spoil it like milk in August.
There you go. Although you can't spoil milk by putting it outside right now because
it's pretty damn freezing. Cool.
It's also not August.
This is true. Unless somebody's listening this, you know, in the past or in the future.
Somebody in the future.
All right. Well, I'm going to review the Guardians of the Galaxy number 20, which is the third part of the original Sin tie-in, figuring out what the hell happened in the Cancerverse with Star-Lord, Richard Rider, and Thanos.
Okay, I'm already confused because I thought the original Sin shit ended a long time ago.
It was supposed to, but look, this cover, it says original Sin still. Mm-hmm. Story's still playing out. Okay. Yeah, and this, so that would be one of my critiques, but let me get into who wrote this. Brian Michael Bendis, still writing Guardians of the Galaxy. Pencils by Ed McGuinness and Valerio Sheedy. And inks by Mark Farmer, Valerio Sheedy, and Mark Morales. Good stuff. The art, you know, first rate, as kind of come to expect with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Two pencilers, really, you said?
Yep, there's two pencilers. Difference usually between, I think, between the Cancerverse pages and then the thing. But actually, it flows together really smoothly.
Oh.
So you kind of have to, I guess, really know these guys' artwork to truly know the difference.
Okay.
But so it flows together well. It's nice. So this is the third part of this tie-in story that explains what happened to Richard Rider, why he's absent in the Marvel Universe. And as Tony talked about when he reviewed the first part of this, this is one of those questions from a story arc that happened in the Space Comics a few years ago, and most people probably don't even realize what the Cancerverse is, that these heroes tried to stop this thing. So it was kind of a big event that kind of went nowhere. And so Brian Michael Bendis is trying to explain what happened. And I don't think he needed three books to do that. I was kind of a little disappointed with this one. It felt a little anticlimactic. And but it does kind of explain the story. So first issue, they're in the Cancerverse. Thanos gets the cube, and then the Dark Avengers show up. The Revengers, as they're called in the Cancerverse. Second issue is basically them all fighting.
That's a great name.
It is actually a pretty good name.
Yeah. For them.
Second issue is them all fighting, and Nova gets his arm. He has the cosmic. They're all fighting over the cosmic cube, so that that's their way of getting out. And Nova's arm gets chopped off, and he loses the cube, and the Revengers end up with the cube. This one picks up. The fighting still happened. The Revengers have the cube. And one of the things that they establish is that in the Cancerverse, these heroes can't die. And they've already killed Drax a couple times. They've tried to kill Thanos a couple times in the Cancerverse.
Yeah, they fucking showed them have a giant fight in the first book of like, oh.
Yeah, oh, we can't die here. And in fact, that was the whole thing about the Cancerverse, and that Thanos was actually supposed to have brought death to the Cancerverse. So technically they should be able to die, but they're saying that they can't, so we'll just go with the fact that they can't die.
Yeah.
You follow?
They retconned
yeah.
the original story, which is bullshit. But.
A little bit. But so here's the thing. If you've established in your first two books that your heroes can't die, no matter how much punishment they go, then why do I care that Nova lost his arm and he's bleeding out? And Star-Lord's like making a big deal about this. Like, oh, you know, just hold on there. He goes, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if you don't make it. You can't die here. And so I'm a little disappointed that, like, those mechanics.
The writing sucks.
Yeah, that the mechanic there of you're in a universe where you can't die isn't like exploited. Like, dude, just all right, fine, kill me. I'll get a new body here in a second, and then we'll just keep fighting. You know, which I think would have been a more interesting thing for Nova to be like, Star-Lord, kill me.
Yeah,
I can't kill you. You're my best friend. No, just kill me. It still feels like you're killing him, even though you know he's not going to die. I thought that would have been kind of neat, but Brian Michael Bendis did not consult me on this book. I know.
Bastard.
I'm just glad that Joss Whedon keeps consulting us for the Avengers movie, but all right,
so notes for the next couple.
So ultimately, again, Thanos ends up with the cube, and again, Drax is fighting Thanos, and fun thing, Drax picks up Thor's hammer in the Cancerverse. And there's a little bit of Star-Lord trying to say, I don't know if it's because Drax was found worthy here or if that whole worthy crap doesn't apply here in the Cancerverse. Either way, he was hitting with Thor's hammer, and that was kind of cool. But still, Thanos is tough enough. He takes the strike and still beats up Drax. And I'm like, God, I've seen this about three or four times in this series already.
So you're saying this could all be condensed down into like one or two?
Yeah, books. That's what I said. This could have been one issue book. Really, maybe two, but regardless, Nova ends up with the Cosmic Cube, and because he's got all the Nova Force inside him, and he's got the Cosmic Cube, he's essentially powerful enough to operate it and not die, and he goes, I will get you and Drax out of here, Star-Lord and Drax out of here, but I have to be the doorway. So he uses the cube, makes a doorway, shoots them out of the portal, back into their universe, and they're free. And then you see one more thing come out of the portal, and it's Thanos. So they still don't explain why Thanos was able to get through the portal when Richard Rider really tried to make it just those two guys. But regardless, they made it through. And then we get one little view of some kind of looking celestial thing in the corner, which makes us think, is that Richard Rider now? He's merged his power with the Cosmic Cube and the Nova Force, and now he's some kind of cosmic deity sort of thing. They still don't explain it. Ultimately, what they go through in this book was all to say that Nova really loved Gamora. That's why they Peter Quill and Drax didn't say anything, was because Nova asked them not to. That he loves Gamora, and he doesn't want her to have hurt feelings anymore. And
that's lame.
It's pretty lame. And especially Gamora, who is supposed to be like, you know, yeah, if she falls in love, that's cool. But don't make it cheesy. Don't make it love that's like, oh, I really loved you. And yeah, I got a boombox for you. Look at me. I'm in love with you. Like, if she's going to love someone, let it be someone who's like, dude, I don't care about you. You're just a dirty killer hoe bag. And she'd be like, what? You're treating me like a dick. That turns me on, as I find most women like to be treated badly, or so I'm told.
Just the sluts.
just the sexy ones, right? So, anyway, so that's my review of the book. I was kind of let down, but Guardians of the Galaxy is still awesome.
Things that you wish they would have done differently.
Yeah, and my favorite part actually is it says next issue, Planet of the Symbiotes.
Is the next storyline, which they're getting back to. Yeah. That's going to be badass.
I hope so. That seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. So that solves our mysteries of what happened to Richard Rider.
Yeah, but doesn't explain where the fuck Nova is, though.
No, they give you a little like clue that he's in this universe, but he looks like a celestial now, is what it comes down to. So
bullshit.
Okay, yeah. So I do have one question. So the Watch, well, actually two. The Watcher is dead, correct?
Yes, the Uatu is dead.
Okay.
But Nick Fury is now the Watcher. Okay. Old Nick Fury. White Nick Fury.
Yeah. Howling Commandos Nick Fury.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Can there be What If comics without Uatu?
There are other Watchers.
There are other Watchers.
And in fact, in other certain ones, they've had other named Watchers.
Is Uatu dead in all the multiverse or just ours?
Well...
And technically, his power is with Nick Fury now. So, technically, his power still lives on. So, we'll just have some with Nick Fury. We'll just have a little bit more cigars and scotch when we do.
Scotch. Okay. Tony, you want to go next? Or
no.
No? Do it. Actually, I want to know what you're reviewing, because we haven't talked about it.
Let me butt back in one more thing. So if Nova still has all of the Nova Corps force in him, how are there other Novas right now?
Maybe he's implanted some Nova seeds here and there.
Drunk one night, planted some Nova seeds?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Bow chicka bow wow.
He was being sexy.
What a slut. All right, Tony, what do you have?
All right, I picked up something a little bit different while reading it, but, I mean, it's the same. I talk about this every time there's a Carnage event, but Access Carnage number one. The reason why I say it's a little bit different is because of what's going on within this Access universe, which this book spoiled it for me because I have not read it within the main...
Access number three came out last week.
Oh, I didn't get to that yet.
Yeah, I know. You had it in your pile of books, and you were like, oh, I guess that must have come out last week. and in it, spoiler alert, is where we get that inversion event, where...
The Red Skull gets his mind wiped by Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, and Doctor Doom. They all kind of team up, and...
They do an Access spell to flip to get Charles's persona to the front of Red Skull's persona.
But what that does is does a whole mind wipe on the universe, yeah, or the world. Kind of
flips everyone's mind.
Which is where you get this whole event happening now, and with that, Carnage trying to be a good guy.
That's not a terrible idea.
Well, yeah. Well, when I was reading in here, I'm like, fuck, when am I going to read that in the books? Looks like I picked it up and just have... I have so many books I need to read.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'll get to some of those this week. This, though, little mini-series, like I've always said before, the Carnages do little mini-series because he's such a killing spree-type person. You can't just have him be all the time in books. But this is written by Rick Spears, art by Jermaine Peralta, and colors by Rain Barreto. And it starts off with him... talking about how he wants to be a good guy, how he's got all these things, but he's also talking about his lust for violence, his need to do carnage, but yet all these things in his head keep over wiring that, and him wanting to do good now, and talking about the some sort of yin yang magic mumbo jumbo that happened, that now he's trying to be good. Doesn't necessarily mean he's doing good, but that he's trying to do good is different for the sociopath.
Yeah.
And that you see him kind of, you know, sliding through the city on his webbing tentacle.
His goo.
Goo, yeah. That kind of like Spider-Man. And him going in and saving the day from a prostitute, from her pimp, but pretty much... This was the scene that pretty much sold.
Sorry, I'm just
trying to figure out if she was drawn sexy or slutty.
Yeah,
this is the scene that pretty much sold it of what is going on in this guy's mind. So, as he punches the pimp, he punches him so hard that his eyeball flies out. Kind of disgustingly awesome drawn, but then you know another guy comes at him and tries to stab him. So he goes, you know, I can make knives too, and pretty much chops that dude's arm off. And then finds out from the girl, the girl's like, well, I can't believe you did that, you know? That was my pimp. And then he's going, wait, you're a woman for hire? That makes you a bad person too. But I can't hit girls, so I got to do it softly. So he kind of holds her face while he punches her. He goes, good, I didn't pop her eye out. Like, but knocks her out. Like,
that's kind of funny.
Because... he's like, well, you're an evil person.
Those are what are referred to as loving punches.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, does okay. Here's a question: because they always or recently they've really been playing up the redneck heritage of Cletus Kasady. Are they making him a born again Christian type good guy? Or
you know, almost that feels sounds like
okay.
Actually, kind of getting to that. There's this other bad guy within this book. Who's like his name's a Sin Eater? Who, when he took off his mask, he had like a Red Hood type, just mask over his face, and he was going around killing two key people. One of which was a newscaster, and Carnage saw the news feed of this chick going on about how she lost her coworker, best friend, blah blah blah, crying on the air. Right after she got done with that, she's all happy, you know. I just sold the ratings. They're going to replay that for the next 72 hours. Like, she did the crying and stuff. She didn't give a shit. She goes, you know, I'm sleeping with him. You know, it's sad that he's dead, but fuck him for dying. So I'm like, oh, she's not necessarily the nicest a person. Carnage is like, oh, that's a person that could help me become a good person. So Carnage is on his way to her house. Also, unbeknownst to her... this bad guy is in her house as well.
Is he going to give her loving punches too?
Yes, he's going to try. While the fight happens, she also has extra security, this bodyguard, police officer, the Sin Eater guy, who when his mask got taken off looked almost like a flaming skull Ghost Rider. So has the essence of taking their souls and eating them, anyone that has sinned. So whether he's like, obviously he's killing everyone, just saying everyone has sinned. I mean, who hasn't, except for maybe Milo, because he's your kid's, your kid's amazing.
No, he's sinned.
Yeah. Well, he didn't know he was being naughty. Well,
yeah, he did. Yeah.
Everything
he looked at me first, smiled, and
is funny.
It's true.
So, with this person's, you know, powers, he's just going around killing people. Why he went after the news reporter, not exactly sure. Why he's going after this chick news reporter.
Because obviously it's number one.
There's something there.
You got to find out the mystery.
But Carnage comes in and saves the day. And then, pretty much, in an awesome, easy display, takes his, you know, Carnage powers, takes the gun to then make the guy pull the trigger and blow his own face off. Like, all right, so he's saving the day. He's got his Mary Jane now, and he's going to try to figure out how to become
be a good guy.
You also see the Sin Eater guy get up, and he's still alive, so obviously he's going to be the main, antagonist?
Yeah.
I don't know those English words. But I love one of the last scenes in the book. You see him hanging upside down, and her just webbed to a wall, and him being upside down Spider-Man Carnage, being like, I need to be, you know, you need to teach me how to be a good guy. So, like I said, it's weird how Carnage is trying. He knows that there's something going on, that he doesn't want to be doing this, but yet he's still doing it. It's a fun, different read.
You know what it feels to me? And the whole event isn't over yet, so you can't judge it too hastily. But it feels a bit like this is Marvel's answer to Forever Evil. That was last year this time, kind of. You got a bunch of villains, especially in Axis. The villains kind of showed up, and they're the ones that actually stopped the Red Onslaught here and get the spell thing cast. And now you have a whole bunch of villains playing heroes. I like it because you know it's temporary, which kind of lets you explore these characters in a fun story. They'll go back to being...
There's nothing permanent in superhero comics, at least.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Except Wolverine being dead, because he's going to be dead forever.
For now.
You want to put a bet on that?
I'm betting he
is. Ghost Logan.
All right. This week, I've got something that is very different from the norm. This is Rasputin number one from Image Comics. Written by Alex Grecian. Riley Rossmo did the art. Ivan Placencia did the colors. Thomas Maurer did the letters. And I picked up the Ryan Stegman cover, which, Matt, I don't know if you saw that cover.
Nice.
This is... Let me back up and give just a brief history. When I was in high school, I learned about the Russian Revolution. I found out about who Grigory Rasputin was, and I became very interested in this historical figure.
Yeah.
Anybody that's ever read anything about him knows that he was the biggest con man like the world had ever seen at that point.
I know, but then like they tried to kill him a whole bunch of different ways, and
yeah, they stabbed him, shot him,
hung him. Drowned him.
And that's how they finally killed him the last time, I guess, was drowning him.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that this guy supposedly thwarted death all these different times, whether or not he had any real mystic powers or not, you know, but the fact that he was able to influence, you know, the Tsarina to the point where she was influencing the Tsar and changing everything around, and that's like a lot of that was what started the Russian Revolution, and it's very interesting when you look back at who this character was. So that's why I'm like, all right, cool, I want to read a comic about Rasputin. And the one thing that I like about this is that inside where it says Rasputin, based on true-ish events, true-ish, you know, kind of. The first thing that I need to point out is that this book, and I will say, beautifully written, there are only 28 either dialogue boxes or word balloons total.
Uh-huh.
So this is one of those stories where, you know, it's like, okay, you know, it's like you start out the first three pages, and then all of a sudden... there's really not a whole lot of words in here.
It's very Russian. We don't say much.
Yeah. Well, and actually even one of the word balloons is the one mom, and it's actually a drawing of a piece of wood because they were going out chopping wood. So this is one of those where you actually, the art is telling you the story. And I bitch a lot when writers don't allow their artists to actually help them tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, this is... such a well-written story that Riley Rossmo then can tell you all the things you need to know through his actual artwork.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get too much into the story because you could tell it quite quickly. My only complaint is I wish this would have been a double or a triple issue.
Okay.
Because when you have those few words, you read it quite quickly. Now you go back and look at all of it over again. Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting take on Rasputin in the fact that they are showing that he does actually have mystical powers. And it's definitely one of these fun books where one of the word balloons in here, excuse me, Rasputin says, "I'm going to be murdered by my closest friends in the world, you know, tonight, you know," and he knows the wine's been poisoned, you know, and he's still going to go ahead and drink it because he's been killed before.
Yeah.
But it shows some background of him when he was a child. It's showing where he currently is now. Definitely people need to go pick this book up because this is such an interesting take on what you can do with the medium of a comic book, mm-hmm. which normally isn't, because normally, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way because I like to write myself, but I'm not very good at it, but I like knowing that people are reading my words.
Yeah.
And something like a comic, I think a lot of times, you know, we do focus on the stories quite a bit, and we do also tend to look at the art, but we forget how important the art is to telling the sequential story. So pick it up, give it a shot. Just an all-around gorgeous fucking book, too. So that's my pick this week. Tony, you're giving me some weird looks.
No, I just keep thinking of the movie Anastasia. I love that movie, and Rasputin is, well, the bad guy in it.
Yes, voiced by Christopher Lloyd.
Rasputin's always a bad guy.
I know. You need to make him a good guy eventually, just to throw things up. Axis
and
him.
Have him join Axis.
Yeah, Axis him. When I first heard that they were making this Rasputin comics, I was wondering if it was part of Dark Horse's...
Well, it's Image.
I know, but I was curious if it was going to be Dark Horse and then tie into the Hellboy, because he's one of the, you know, antagonists in Hellboy. But, no, interesting semi-historical take on him.
Very, very semi-historical, yeah. But it's cool. And I think that's kind of one of the neat things, too, is that, you know, you've got these creators that are going back. And there was a really good kind of back page article from the writers and the artists and all the people that are working on it. And it's interesting because Grisham was talking about how he's always loved the quote-unquote character of Rasputin. So, but...
Cool.
All right. Do a little...
A little news.
A little news. Some very little news. Actually, I mean, there's plenty to discuss as far as the amount that we can get into this, but this week, there wasn't shit that came out, like as far as total number of stories. Like, normally, we have to dwindle them down. This week, I mean, I guess we should probably start with the big one, with Marvel. And that is, basically, October 29th is National Cat Day. And so, to celebrate that, Marvel is doing kitty cat variants.
Meow.
Yeah. There's.
Is it Marvel Meow?
Yeah, Marvel Meow. Yeah, there's Wolverine Kitty, and then there's Iron Kitty.
Wait, why do they have a Wolverine Kitty when he's dead?
I don't know. Because why do they put Deadpool on covers?
Because Deadpool's still alive. I mean,
yeah. Spider Kitty.
Spider Cat. Spider Cat.
Thor Kitty.
Yeah, but Thor's supposed to be a frog.
No, Thor's a chick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps changing.
Yeah. So
I think he's a shapeshifter.
I don't know if these actually came out or what. Like I don't know. I saw this on Comic Book Resources and it's cute. But Jenny Parks was the artist on there. Oh, they posted a selection of these. But maybe they're not actual variant covers. I don't know. I'm confused and drunk. So, what else was out there, Tony?
Well, as we had mentioned, there was the extra footage of Avengers stuff that they released during S.H.I.E.L.D., Which was kind of a funny little tidbit of who was worthy to lift Thor's hammer.
Yeah, and it shows the Avengers essentially sitting around having drinks after some battle or something, and Thor puts the hammer down and everyone tries to lift it. Of course, Captain America nudges it.
Yeah. I almost wanted him to just come up and pick it and go, what? Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? And have him go.
It's funny because you could see the look on Thor's face kind of go, oh, crap.
Yeah.
For a moment, but.
What? Could a robot move it?
No, because you have to be considered worthy.
I mean,
but a robot wouldn't also be unworthy.
No, I think because he doesn't have a soul to judge.
Yeah.
I always get, this always bugs me because I'm like, you know, Thor is a good guy, but he's not the best guy.
Yeah, he's a dick a lot of the times, even now. Like, yeah. He was bigger dick back in the day.
Yeah, when he could still use it. So, but, I mean, I feel like, you know, they kind of play around with who gets to be worthy. It doesn't really mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, because I totally think that Captain America should always be able to.
I mean, you could be strong enough to lift it. Like, Thor, or not Thor, because he has, the Hulk has lifted it. Mm-hmm. But that's just out of sheer strength and not just really being able to necessarily do it being worthy. Just, he was Hulk-raged and has lifted it in the past, so. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's just, it's actually, what I always find interesting is that actually comes from the Norse mythology for Thor, in the sense that his hammer was supposed to be so heavy, it was like 100 tons or something, that in order for Thor to be, even Thor, the god, to lift it, he had to wear special gauntlets that allowed him to grip it, and he had to wear a belt. He had to wear a belt that doubled his strength, which is fun, because then when you get to things like Dungeons & Dragons, and you want to use the Hammer of Thunderbolts, you need the gauntlets of Ogre Power and the belt of Giant Strength, and it just, okay, anyways. But that's one of the things that they've kind of always, I've always enjoyed that about Thor, is that in the comics, is that they still kind of play, you know, homage to his mythological roots. So yeah. His not being able to lift the hammer is actually part of, you know, his story overall. Not right. Just some, it was an unoriginal idea, Marvel. Yeah. Come on.
CBS has talked about the new Supergirl and revealing the two lead roles, which, duh, obviously Kara Zor-El is one of the main characters, but a secondary character within the show is going to be Alexandria Danvers, who is Kara's, you know, adopted sister, and she's jealous, has always been jealous of her sister's powers, but fascinated by them. So she turns into a secret government agency worker. Surprise, surprise. So they're still casting for it, but it kind of leads a little bit more of what the show may be about, having, you know, two sisters, one working for the government, one not. Is she going to exploit her sister? Probably not. Probably going to be there to help save the day, because you always need the insider person to cover up your tracks. So,
did you guys see that Static Shock is actually being made into a new, I guess, digital, which, so I'm assuming maybe it's just going to be like online, but it's going to be a live action digital series for Static Shock.
And Static Shock, like a Netflix or Hulu?
I don't know. It doesn't really, I haven't really figured it out here yet, okay. But rumor is that Warner Brothers might be looking at Jaden Smith for it, which, you know, the one picture that I saw of him next to the drawing of the character, he actually looks quite a bit like him.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Right now with this.
Yeah, when you said it was Jaden Smith, I go, yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, like with the hair is already there. Yeah. So
my biggest thing is, okay, Static Shock. Never really heard of him. B, that they're doing a TV series on him, that's just pulling, like, there's so many other TV shows you could do.
Why Static Shock?
Yeah. I mean, that's really, really...
Well, I think it's part of DC's plan, which is to just make as many TV shows as they can and see which one sticks.
Kind of like Marvel's plan to make a whole shit ton of really awesome movies and they all stick.
Yeah, that's the difference, is that Marvel's got a long history of success in this business.
So, yeah, the real big news this week were all of the movie announcements that were released on Tuesday.
Okay.
So starting with Doctor Strange coming out in November of 2016.
And if they is it officially confirmed or just in the final stages that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play Stephen Strange?
I believe
it's he's in final stages talk, but they haven't officially announced him being.
Okay.
Yeah.
So still rumors on that part.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 coming out.
I love the
May of 2017.
Yes, but I love the what would you call it? The little movie still poster? Yeah, the poster of it where it's like kind of spray painted over and stuff, because originally it was supposed to come out in August of that year. Now that they moved it ahead to begin in the summer, it's kind of like, "Oh, wait, we got to cross off that and rewrite that and they make it in a fun way."
Thor Ragnarok coming out in July 2017.
Mm-hmm. Are you just going to name them all and then we can talk about them? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Black Panther, November 2017. Captain Marvel, July 2018. Inhumans, November 2018. Avengers Infinity War, Part 1 in May 2018. Part 2, May 2019. And Captain America Civil War, May 2016. And I did say Black Panther, right? Yeah. So that's all the movies that they just decided, hey, guess what? So of these, any surprises or shocks for you guys?
A little shocked with Captain Marvel, but not really, because
they've said it's Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, well, I'm not shocked by that at all. And that's what actually makes sense about it, is that you have very few strong female heroes. They've made Black Widow pretty darn awesome and integral and things, but they don't have a movie for her, right? Well, and it's unlikely to make a Black Widow movie.
That was one of the things that people were bitching about. Why hasn't there been a solo movie for Black Widow or Hawkeye?
To be honest, I don't think that it would draw the audience. I think Black Widow or Hawkeye would do real well with a Netflix series. You know?
Well, I think Black Widow on her own would probably be too much like a James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's why they're staying away from it.
I think that type of character is good with other people. Like,
well, yeah, but the her solo issue, mm-hmm. you know, her solo comic that she's got, it's a great book,
mm-hmm.
you know, where she's running around doing her own thing. You know, occasionally, yeah, you have cameos from this person or that,
but it, well, and that's kind of where, you know, by herself, and even Hawkeye by himself, they're kind of small threat type people, and it just, I don't know if, because you've already played them in something like the Avengers, where they're having world crises to face, and by themselves they can't handle world crisis stuff.
Well,
but as part of the team they can. So,
well, and I guess just, you know, Hawkeye by himself would just be another Bourne Identity, because Jeremy Renner already did that. So
I liken him to Hunger Games, but whatever.
Arrowed.
Captain Marvel, I think, is the one that I'm most excited about.
Well, that one, though, it's going to tie in really well with Guardians of the Galaxy.
I hope she actually gets introduced somehow in the next Guardians movie. And I'm pretty sure she will be, but
Have we talked about ideal casting for Captain Marvel before?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't remember it, but
yeah. My ultimate choice is A.J. Cook from Criminal Minds, girl that plays J.J.
Okay.
She kicks ass. She's beautiful. She's a great actress. She's got the vulnerable side and the really strong side. Like, I'm praying to God that Marvel sees this and mm-hmm. goes, "Oh, look, that's Carol Danvers."
Well, just tell Joss to put in a word.
Yeah, Tony, can you do that when you guys go have dinner later tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things that when they were first revealing the titles with Captain America, and I forget what they originally said, but it was Captain America, like,
you know, Serpent Society.
Yeah, Serpent Society, which I started looking at. There was some Secret Avengers that had stuff with the Serpent, and I was like, all right, that's different. That's not what I thought. I heard it was going to be called, but then later on they go, oh, yeah, we're just messing with you. It's Captain America Civil War. So that they're having a huge event be done in Captain America and not one of the Avengers movies,
mm-hmm.
is going to make that Captain America movie stand out even more so as a team up. They've already cast Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark within it. Because they need to have the two sides. As there's been talk of possibly Sony allowing Spider-Man to be in it to be a big reveal. Because really in those movies, no one's masked anymore. And even in the comic books, no one's masked anymore.
I mean, yeah, hardly. Except for a couple. But Spider-Man's kind of the big
one. Even Daredevil has like, revealed himself. Like, yeah, Spider-Man really is the last one holding out.
Well, and Spider-Man, I still hate One Last Day or One Final Day because it totally took out his, you know. But he outed himself, and I thought that was awesome. He outed himself
multiple times before and then had it.
I still hate the whole gimmicks of, oh, I have to keep my secret identity. How is no one going to know that Peter Parker, who works very closely for Spider-Man, you know, oh, he does tech for him, but I never see him together at the same time.
You know, that is interesting that you're mentioning it, because I'm trying to think, besides Spider-Man, who in the Marvel Universe still has a secret identity?
Yeah.
Not many.
Carol Danvers, everybody knows she's Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the mutants are pretty much. No, that's, I'm a mutant. You know who I am.
Yeah.
The Inhumans are the same way.
Mutants are a little bit different because they still want to register them, but you still don't know if they're a mutant or not unless they're fur skin. But yeah, they don't have a secret.
But yeah, so
unless their fur is skin,
fur skin. Beast does.
Yeah. They're really hairy. Yeah. Well, they could be orange.
Here's something. You asked, you know, what surprises me about the movie thing. I really wasn't surprised by anything. I'm not even surprised that Avengers 3, The Infinity Gauntlet, is two parts, right? Because I'm like, no, that just kind of makes sense. Like, other movies have been doing that recently, and so you're going to build up this big event. You put it a year apart. That's what
the first one's going to be, him getting the all stones. Them,
and then, yeah. So... and even Black Panther being part of it, it doesn't surprise me. And then the Inhuman thing doesn't surprise me because Marvel doesn't have the rights to mutants, so they've been pushing the Inhumans quite hard.
Doctor Strange, you think Dormammu will be in it?
I would hope so, that the Dark Dimension would be what the...
Or there'd be at least something of Dormammu... A brief talking to a human character to make it. They may not have him. He'll be like the background bad guy of like set it in motion or something.
I think it might come into like the soul gem or something might come into play there.
The soul glow?
The soul gem.
He's got soul glow?
Soul glow.
down to soul. The other thing with Doctor Strange, whenever I think Dormammu, I always have to go back and think about the commission that I had seen a Grace do of Dormammu and Kitty Pryde, or not Kitty Pryde, magic fighting. So that's another one of those movies where you could have a mutant that's not really a mutant.
You can't use her, though, because she's part of the mutant properties that Fox owns.
But they could use Quicksilver and
that was a very legal battle. There was a huge legal battle in a special case because they first showed up in the Avengers as part of the Avengers team and then later revealed that they were mutants and the children of Magneto.
I'll have to find out where the first Ilyana appearance
is. I think she's way too tied up and that there's not enough precedent to say that. Well, she wasn't a mutant at first. So, but it would be cool. It'd be cool if they could all like quit being dicks and let us get really good movies that had all the characters we want to see, you know?
Mm-hmm. But. Thor Ragnarok, I'm curious on which Ragnarok storyline they're going to do. Because there's been multiple ones. And obviously Loki, Tom Hiddleston has said that he's reprising his role. So he's going to be there. And this is going to be situated right before Infinity War. So
I don't think Thor's going to be in the Infinity War, to be honest. I think that they'll take out the Asgardians so that they're not even in play for that final Avengers movie.
Who has the rights to Namor?
I just heard this one. Oh,
it's Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I think it was Fantastic Four.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it was Fox.
That's a bitch.
Yeah.
Because I was just, in my head, I just all of a sudden started thinking, because now that Black Panther's being introduced and everything else, I started thinking of an old Invaders comic. But if you had Cap, the original Human Torch, who's an android, So he doesn't have to be part of Fantastic Four because he was actually pre-Fantastic Four. But yeah, I have the original Human Torch, Cap, and Submariner doing some old school World War II fighting.
Well, I know a lot of the big name stars, their contracts are kind of up after Avengers. And so I would totally imagine that, you know, if they're going to do that, they're going to have to, they might restart it with a different Captain America.
Well, they got
to
get Fantastic Four back first, yeah. But.
Well, we'll see how this next movie goes for them.
One of the things I am looking forward to going back to Inhumans is seeing a Lockjaw.
Yeah.
Giant fucking mutt.
You know, here's something that, that we'll need to, talk to, like, you know, Stegman or Soul about. Next time we get the chance to talk to them is if they happen to know if any of their new characters are being introduced in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I mean, are they going to base it on the new stuff that's coming out and the old stuff or just the old stuff? Or, you know, what are they pulling from? That'll be kind of the curious.
One of the things that has been speculated, was it, what the fuck's his name? Kevin Feige or whatever?
Feige.
Has been saying that seeds that were going to be popping up before you know it of Inhumans. Well, where can that pop up?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've been saying that since the first season.
And they're talking about the chick Sky possibly being part mm-hmm. Inhuman.
Mm-hmm. Her dad's already been applied. They've got alien artifacts that they can use, and they've got different names for them.
Spoiler.
Oh, you know what? You guys should have been watching the fucking series, okay? You guys keep, oh, I'll get to it and stuff. No, bullshit. I'm spoiling this. From the first moment when they identified Sky as an 084 or an unidentified power thing, they found her in Hunan province in China, and the whole village had been murdered. I go, China, near the Alps, near where the hidden city of Adelon could be. So I put it together way back then. So.
Apparently your brother thinks he's smart, Tony.
Stupid slut.
No, he's sexy.
He called me sexy.
All right, we should probably move on here because we've kind of talked, I think, about as much as we have on that. I do want to mention one more thing about Marvel, and sorry this is all Marvel news, but, you know, DC, Image.
Oh, wait, going back quick, just to cut you off. So, because I didn't get to totally talk about Black Panther movie.
Oh, okay.
That's one that I'm very interested in. And he's going to debut in Civil War.
Yep, I've heard.
So that's going to be kind
of. No, I heard that part of the Avengers 2 here is fighting in Wakanda.
They're talking about Wakanda and having it mentioned and stuff, but he's going to be physically introduced. Well, and all this stuff is happening before Infinity anyways.
Actually, yeah. You know what, though? It makes sense because they. They do show Cap's shield broken huh. in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And what's it made out of?
Vibranium.
And where do you get that?
Huh. And also, I believe they show Andy Serkis. And Andy Serkis looks a lot like Ulysses Klaue, who's a villain who uses vibranium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
No? Nice.
Come on. Pay attention. I'm a fucking detective. Batman's got nothing on me.
So speaking of Inhumans, the Entertainment Weekly released a thing of Inhumans Adelon Rising, or Adelon, or how you ever say it. That's another event this summer, but I don't remember that being a rehashed event.
No, that definitely seems like an original event.
Yeah.
Unlike the countless other ones that are rehashes.
The Ultimate Universe, The End, is happening. And, Tony, you should be happy about this one. Age of Apocalypse.
Again?
Again. That universe is...
And I was going to say, and they're ending the Ultimate Universe again?
Yeah. Future Imperfect, which is a Hulk... based thing, The Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, which shows him with presumed to be Mary Jane and a little redheaded girl sitting on his shoulders, which looks like a little Mary Jane. And then more AVX is coming out. So, yay. It's a whole summer of events, Tony. And do you see why I'm done with events? Because there's, like, 12 events this next summer?
But they're all going to tie in and be awesome, and you're going to not have a clue what's going on.
That's fine. I will just go read into like all my indie books. And speaking of that, we should take a little trip down the Indy Turnpike, huh?
Indeed.
All right. This one is perfectly timed. It's the Boonana Tail Halloween Special. And this is Mark McKenna's character, Banana Tail. But this one, if you remember when we chatted with him at Grand Con, he's been working on this one for a while. This is the Halloween issue. And so there's five different stories in here. The first one is written by Mark McKenna himself, art by Jim Calafiore, and then colors by Kate Finnegan. By the way, Mark does, I think Mark does inks on all of these. No, he doesn't. Okay, so he did inks on the first one. Almost Ghost, Jim Calafiore wrote it. Geraldo Borges and Mark McKenna did the art. Blake Northcott did the third story, Rena's Candy Crush. And Geraldo Borges and Mark McKenna, man, I am suffering today on names, did the art. A Fungus Among Us, story by Mark McKenna, art by Ryan Brown. Safety First, written by Sam Eggleston. Richard Johnson and Josh Oakes did the art. Michael Woods did the colors. And then Scaredy Cats, Fabian Nicenza wrote that. And Kevin West did pencils and colors. Inks by Mark McKenna. Colors, if I did not mention, were all done by Kate Finnegan. So lots of creators. Sorry, six stories, not five. But this is an all-ages book. And definitely, you know, this is one, actually, Matt, that I think you should take home and read to Milo.
Okay.
Because it's just kind of fun. Now, this is my first...
You don't like how I handle comic books, so you're definitely not going to like how my son handles comic books.
Okay, well, you should go buy your own copy of this later today and take it home. But this one follows, you know, Banana Tail and Rena the Rhinoceros and Tic Tac the Zebra, who he's got checkers on his side. This is, you know, these are good, fun little, like, you know, stories about friends and, you know, their little adventures and, you know, the little animals that they come up against. This being my very first time with them, I was kind of fun because I'm learning a little bit about these characters and, you know, who's who. Rena the Rhinoceros, it confused me at first because she's like hot pink and then she's yellow. And then I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't she a different color? And then, you know, she's pink again later, and I'm like, and I realized she's pink when she's happy. She turns yellow when she's scared.
So she wears her emotions.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, that's actually pretty cool. But this is it's fun. This book actually had me, like, you know, definitely smiling on a regular basis through here. You know, as a guy who's not close to being a child at all as far as age, it definitely took me back to, you know, those childhood days.
So you're saying Tony would have absolutely no problem getting into that book?
No, and actually I thought about Tony a lot.
Might be above his reading level?
Yeah, well, you could read it to... Fucker. No, Matt, you could read it to him and your son at the same time. And and I'm sure that... Well, I've seen how Tony handles comics, yeah. So Milo's got to be better than that. but the Banana Tail and the Almost Ghost, this one, Tony, actually, I thought about you because... Banana Tail's making his own costume, and everybody still knows it's him, and he's really upset about it. But there's just a lot of fun in here. There's actually one page that's actually a little on the terrifying side that Ryan Brown did, which is all these like mushrooms that come to life, and they're a little creepy.
Mushrooms are but evil.
If you're looking for something that's different, and you know, from your normal all ages book out there, this is a good one. And this is, I think, a great one for kids. And so I'm actually going to probably have to go visit my quote unquote nieces and or nephews and niece and go read this to them. Because
or just wait 9 months till your kid comes out.
Excuse me?
I thought it was funny.
What a slut.
there's no kids coming. So, all right. So
start that rumor right now. God.
You do realize my girlfriend listens to the show, right?
Nope, but oops.
That makes one of ours.
All right, guys. That does it for Indy Turnpike.
We got a booze in a book?
We do have a booze in a book. this week, booze in a book brought to you by inkwhiskey.com, even though they bring all of the things, but this is the ideal one because you can go get your NES retro cartridge looking flask from them. Go to inkwhiskey.com. Christmas is coming up, kids. Don't forget, these are perfect presents. And get on there quickly because if you've got one in particular in mind, you don't want them to have a little shortage, mm-hmm. you know, when everybody else is going to go buying them.
Think ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they got tons of stock, but, you know, plan ahead. So, inkwhiskey.com. Booze in a book this week, I have the Harley Quinn Annual paired with a Heineken. And the reason primarily for this is that...
paired with a joint?
No.
It's got to be booze.
Yeah. Now we'll leave Jay over at anelegantweapon.ca to figure out what kind of weed he wants to put with that. And we do have to find out from him if Canada got the... Well, because this was the rub and smell issue. And here in the States, at least, one of the four flavors, if you will, was marijuana. Mm-hmm. Now, I know overseas, they were getting freshly cut grass replaced for their scent. But I don't know about across the border up into Canada what they got. So
I don't know. It just smelled like hippie to me.
Yeah. Well, it smelled like patchouli?
Yeah.
but yeah, so I'm... the reason I'm pairing these is because of that weed smell from the rub and smell. Because weed many times smells very skunky. Mm-hmm. And at Heineken, I'd say probably 9 out of 10 times that I've had one, shit is skunk.
Well, also Heineken comes from Amsterdam, or from the Netherlands.
It comes from Amsterdam,
yeah. Yeah, which is basically known for their weed smoking, so.
Yeah. And the other reason that I'm pairing these two together, they're both ridiculously overpriced.
Ooh.
Cuz I'm sorry, $5.99 for an annual. Nope.
Yeah, even for a scratch and sniff.
Rub and smell.
What? Okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Scratch and sniff is trademarked. TM. But all right, guys, anything else before last call?
Nah.
All right. What'd you guys have?
I don't know. What do I have?
Matt's still trying to get caught up. He's read one book this week.
Yeah. Tony's been having to hit the comic book store for me. So
Vertigo Quarterly Yellow came out.
How was it?
Good stories in there, but I'm halfway through that one.
Lot of yellow?
Yes, a lot of yellow is the primer. Death of Wolverine, Deadpool, and Captain America. Almost talked about it, but Derek would have yelled at me about talking about Deadpool. However, it left on a cliffhanger note. The story revolved around old man Captain America teaming up with Wade to go get, well, burning all of Wolverine's stuff in his house. Like, because they don't want any DNA left over for some mad scientist to clone a Wolverine again. And he's talking about how...
Why don't they clone him and bring him back to life?
That's the thing. He was saying...
Why don't they just go get X-23?
Yeah, if they want to clone
him. They already have a clone, so get...
Yeah, but that would be a clone of that clone and not his actual DNA.
But she's a clone of Wolverine.
Yeah, but if you clone X-23, you're cloning X-23, not Wolverine.
It's like making a copy of a copy. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
it doesn't
look as good. It's comic book logic. Just for whatever reason, they're burning all this shit. Later on, Deadpool asked if he was left anything in the will, and Captain America, yeah, but we just burnt it all. It wasn't one of those team-ups where they fought. They were talking about even a previous Deadpool, Captain America storyline. But what they were doing was Black Widow had tracked down this dagger that Wolverine got stabbed in right prior to him dying that had his DNA that AIM got. So they were, the whole thing went around them going to get it. Captain America left it to Deadpool to take care of. What does Deadpool do? Goes, talks to a scientist, sitting there wanting to clone Wolverine, and as Captain said, we wouldn't be cloning the Professor Wolverine. We would be getting the feral, instinctual, raging Wolverine that he was before. And you're left at the end of this book, because it was just a one-shot, of Deadpool before putting in this thing into this magical cloning device thing or not.
It's all automated now.
Contemplating whether he was going to do that or not. So if this is how Wolverine comes back, I don't know.
Well, we'll hey,
Tony, what part of that was you were almost going to talk about it?
Fuck off. I thought that was really good and it needed to be said that Deadpool might be the savior of Wolverine.
All right. Bob's Burgers, number 3.
Do you want to tell us all about that book?
You know, hold on. Why doesn't Deadpool just get 3 adamantium claws in his hands and then he can just be Wolverine?
Yeah, but then who would be on the Wolverine covers?
You could put a picture of cats, apparently.
Yeah. Speaking of cats, Saga, number 24. Lion Cat is back, and I'm fucking ecstatic, because you didn't know.
Who's Lion Cat?
Lion Cat.
Oh. Who's Lion Cat? Is he as a cousin to Piano Cat?
Do you know who Lion Cat is, Tony? Have you read that far?
Yeah. Is he the one that says, I can hash cheeseburger?
No, all he says is lying. That's all he says.
He knows when people are lying.
Yeah. Southern Bastards, number 5. Wayward, number 3. Bunker, number 7. Dark Gods, number 1. And then finally, God Killer, number 1 from Black Mask. I need to give a special shout out to this one. This is one of the prettiest comics I've seen in a while. So
looks thick.
It is, yeah. The whole style of it reminds me a lot of Jay Lee way back in the day with Hellshock, where he was using like digital fire and stuff in there. It kind of reminds me in that manner of it. Little confusing on the story. I do need to go back and reread it just to, I think, grasp everything that was in here, because I was reading it kind of late, but super, super pretty book on there. And the artist on this is Anna Weischick, I think is the proper pronunciation of her last name. So anyway.
Cool.
Tony, did you have others?
Yeah, the last one's Marvel 75th Anniversary Celebration. I got talked into it at my shop, and a lot of cool new short stories within it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things of, like, really you're going to pick up a random, you know, not really dealing with anything, but it was good. I was glad I did.
Yeah. Oh, last one was, I almost forgot, Inhuman, number 7. So I had a ton of good books this week. This was a rough week for me to try and figure out what I was going to talk about. So compared to last week where I struggled to find one.
Yeah, it's,
and then all of a sudden that
feast or famine, man,
it hit. I mean, and the one that stuck out, yeah, it was hellaciously good. But all right, guys.
Hey, man, it's good to be here.
Yeah, nice to see you again. Mm-hmm. So let's see, we'll see you approximately
around Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas. I was gonna say the week before Christmas.
Christmas extravaganza.
Yeah. So, well,
until then, be slutty, my friends, and we'll be back next week to talk about comics, drink beer, and dress sexy for you then.
I was going to be sexy.
You should have dressed up as a slutty pumpkin.
I'll be a slut.
You are a slut.